Well, Pastor asked me to talk about faith and the vision, and I've been listening to some of the teachings from the past on the vision on this particular ministry. And one of the things that Pastor Eileen would say is that this isn't a church, it's a ministry. And there's a difference between the church and the ministry. The ministry is that vision that God has given this body to flow in and to go in and to do what he's got for this area and for this group. And I am honored to be brought in to such an awesome group of people. I mean, I'm telling you, it was by miracles that I got brought in, and it'll be by miracles that we get taken out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just lift up this morning's teaching, and I ask you, Father, to just fill my mouth with the words to say that I need to say. And I thank you for it, Father, and by faith, I'll teach this message. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The vision of the church is to build an army 300 strong, not a church, but a ministry. Build an army 300 strong. So what's this army going to do? Take the city. That's right. But how are we going to take that city? Prayer, faith, praise God, operating in that faith, praise God, because prayer and faith together, faith without works is dead. And it's going to take the prayer and the fasting for the faith to run out the doubt, for the faith to be able to take over and to be able to do those things that God's called us to do in our city. And Romans, I'm going to tell you, this is how you're going to build your faith, okay? Romans 12, verse 1 and 3, 1 through 3. Says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. This is Romans 12, verses 1 through 3. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Well, we must be holy and acceptable because he's saying for us to be that way. Praise God. Which is our reasonable service. As an army, we're in the service of the Lord Jesus. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So he's given us this command to render our bodies to God. That it's our accept as a living sacrifice. It's an acceptable. We are acceptable to God, and we're his sacrifice. And he just, to walk in that, to know that God loves us so much, he's made us holy, and he accepts our sacrifice. And that sacrifice is our prayer time. That sacrifice is our operating in the Word of God that he's given us to operate in. To prove what is we, not God, but us. We are to prove what is the acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, how are we going to do that? That's a big order. That's a tall order. One of the ways that we're going to do this is renewing our minds. We've got some really good teaching here in this church. And I ask you to get the CDs and just listen to them. Listen to them till it goes off on the inside of you because there's something there for you. And that's how you know, the Word of God says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Well, sometimes it's you reading your Bible out loud. You're going to hear. Your spirit man's going to hear. And sometimes it's listening to CDs. Sometimes it's praying in tongues and getting the interpretation of it. But you are going to be transformed into the image of Christ by the renewing of your mind, by remembering what God says about you instead of what your circumstances say about you, by remembering that the Word of God is more true than anything you can see, think, hear, or taste, or smell. Your senses don't mean anything when it comes to faith and the Word of God. As a matter of fact, if your senses are holding you back, it could be because the enemy's trying to stop you through your flesh. When you're renewing your mind, you're lining your mind up with your spirit man instead of your mind with your body. Because if your mind is lined up with your body, you're going to be in the flesh. But if your mind is lined up with your spirit, you're going to be in the spirit. You're going to be in him. You're going to be able to do things that you've never done before. Because you're in Christ. Praise God. You're in him. And the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. So we're going to think on the things of God if it's true and just and pure and of a good report, if it brings praise to God. These are the things we're going to think on, and we're going to renew. We're going to be transformed by this thinking, by changing the way we think, by pulling out the stinking thinking and begin to. I had a dream one time that I was doing this, and every time I did that, these flies came out. And then the pastor got up and he said, this was like, you know, that week. Pastor got up and he said, some of y'all got some stinking thinking. And I was thinking, flies, they like to hang around some stink. So I better get to transforming. I got to get to renewing my mind, you know, and being changed from glory to glory. So if faith, Romans 10:17 is where it says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And one time I researched that out. And you can hear in so many different ways, you know, just sitting and listening, letting the Lord speak to you, but it needs to line up with the word. So you're going to have to get into the word. You're going to have to read your word, and you're going to have to read it for yourself. Somebody else can't do it for you, because all you're going to get is what God's talking to them and not what God's telling you. Praise God. And we are all individuals. We have DNA. God gave us DNA for a specific reason. To show us that we're all similar, but there's a difference. And that difference is in that little bit of our DNA. That little bit of difference could be what makes you a Paul. That little bit of difference. See, one man can change the whole world, because Paul did it. Jesus did it. And we can do it by transforming, being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Praise God. So you have to be established in some things. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. Because we need to be established in the fact that we are in right standing with God. That we can go into him, into his throne room, and obtain mercy on our behalf or somebody else's. Anytime we want to. Praise God. Anytime we can boldly approach the throne of God and obtain that mercy. Not just show up and let him look at us. Show up and obtain to get that mercy on our behalf and on the behalf of others. And that's what this army is about. Obtaining that mercy. Not just for our lives. Because our lives, we're in victory. We're walking in victory. And now that victory has to spill over onto other people. This, it has to spill over into our town. And the way that that's going to be done is by us demonstrating and handing out samples of God, either in prayer or when you're out in the world. I was at the Best Buy last week, and this lady was checking me out, and she said, "Girl, my head is hurting me so bad," and I had my hands on her before I even thought about asking. I said, "Let me pray for your headache in the name of Jesus." And she just lifted her hands up in the Best Buy. And I laid hands on that lady. Because that's what, you know, where my feet tread. Where your feet tread. That's where we're going. But if you don't know that you're in right standing with God, Bible says for us to get skillful in our righteousness. To get skillful in our righteousness. And so, like Pastor was saying the other day, she said, I am God's favorite. You know, she's speaking the word of God over your situation, regardless of what your flesh is doing. Paul said, he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am. I want to do good, but I can't. I want to say the right things, but my flesh is over here taking me over." And he got out of that by renewing his mind. But you know what? Don't get into the law of renewing your mind. Get in the faith by renewing your mind. Faith is a law. Faith is a law. It's like the law of gravity. It works every time. You take a pencil and you drop it, and it's going to hit the ground unless something intervenes. And your faith is going to work every time, regardless of what you see, hear, feel, or taste. It's a law. Not a law for us to get under and to put us in a box, but it kind of sets me free to know that my faith's going to work every time, in every situation, because it's a law. So there's a difference in the laws of faith and the law of the Spirit. There's a difference in that and the laws that we try to put ourselves under and the things that we try to do. If you pray on Tuesday, then on Thursday, all these great things are going to happen. Well, maybe that's what's happened in the past, but that's getting into law. And then it's not going to work anymore because it's not the laws of God. The law of God is to love and to walk in love. So we've established now 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him, that's Jesus, God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now that means that Jesus paid the price for my sin, and I can't mess that up. He did it. He made covenant with God on my behalf, so I can't mess that up. That's how I'm the righteousness of God and get delivered that way and not be under the law of death. I can be free. I can be free. Praise God. So then I want you to look at 2 Corinthians 1:21 because I want you to get this. Jesus is the Christ. Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is who he is. He is the anointed one and his anointing. Well, you know, if you pray long enough, you'll get enough anointing to do something. Praise God. I'm sorry, but that's law. That is the law. Let me tell you, go to 2 Corinthians 1:21. Because it says in the New King James Version is what I've got these out of. For all the promises of God in him are yes and amen. All the promises of God in him are yes and in him amen. That means he's promised us something and he said yes to it. Praise God. To the glory of God through us. What? How are his promises yes and amen through us? Well, now, verse 21, now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. So you don't have to work for it. We're anointed. We don't have to be under the law. Your relationship with God is going to flow like a river from your innermost being. It's going to flow when you got faith and believing that you're anointed to do. I was anointed to lay hands on that lady in the store. And I didn't have to stop and pray because the Bible didn't say lay hands on the sick and pray and they'll be healed. They shall. It says lay hands on them. If I can just get my hands on sick folks, they're going to be healed. Praise God. And I may put some prayer out there, but it's going to be thank you, Jesus, that by your stripes this person was healed or I was healed. Or, you know, it's just going to be saying thank you, Jesus, that your word is more true than anything that we can see, hear, feel, or taste. So we are anointed. I'm not saying don't pray, because if you don't have that prayer, if you don't have prayer is hooking up with God to carry out his will in the earth. And you should be I should be communing with God, and I do. I can be in the middle of the car wash, be praising God, and just be praying in tongues and having this innermost conversation with my Lord, with the love of my life, that he's the lover of my soul, and just communicating with him constantly. Now, there's times when you got to just get in there and dig in. There's community prayer where we all come together and our anointings flow together and rich things happen. But it's you're going to have that personal relationship, that personal walk, and that personal conversation going on. And how are you going to do that if you don't know that you can? That you are made righteous. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, because he who didn't know sin was made sin for me who's been sinning all my life. He was made sin for me so that I could be made righteous. So I'm just going to take hold of that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for making me righteous. I'm in right standing with God. If you're in right standing with God, you can have that communication going back and forth. Praise God. So we're established in the fact that he has anointed us. Praise God. Now, when you get that time in prayer, things just seem to open up, and you just seem to get more free to allow that anointing to flow. Okay? The prayer, that communion with God is very, very important. The communion with God with the groups. Because the spirit of prayer, if you can't pray, if you just don't feel like you can pray, just come and get in this group of people, because the spirit of prayer is not taught. It's caught. And it's caught by hanging out with them that pray. It's very important to get with the people that are prayer warriors, because you can catch that spirit of prayer. Next thing you know, you'll be going down the road. And be looking at yourself going, what? Did I say that? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want you to be established in the fact that you're the dwelling place of God. We are the Holy of Holies. On the inside of us dwells the same spirit that reached into hell, blew all oppression off of Jesus, breathed the breath of life in him, and drew him out. That same spirit's on the inside of us. That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives on the inside of us. Praise God. You'll find that in Romans 8:11. But Ephesians 2:22 says, in whom you also were being built together, us as an army, being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. As a community, the anointing gets stronger as we come together, because our anointings come together. And we are built together as a dwelling place for God. And that's where you see that army. That's where you see the army come together and become one spirit, one mind. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We are his dwelling place. He dwells on the inside of us. If you've ever been through a dark time in your life, a dark place, when you feel like everything's gone, when you feel like you've been frisbeed out of heaven, like you've just been tossed aside, you're still the dwelling place of God. You're still anointed by God. You are still his righteousness. You are still these things. In 1995 or 96, I was in my home church, and I was in a ladies' meeting. And while I was sitting on the front row, just, you know, listening to the preacher, the Lord picked me up and took me outside, and he set me in the road, and he said, I'm going to take my people into the promised land. I said, well, okay, Lord, that's wonderful. I appreciate that. And this was 20 years ago, 16, 18 years ago. I had no clue what he was doing. I had no clue what God was doing. And then I was in prayer on Tuesday night, and the Lord spoke to me, Hub. And this was at that 1995, 96 time of my life. And I began to meditate on that and study it and learn what a hub was and figure out that God's got a reason for me. He's got a reason There's a reason he told me he was taking his people into the promised land. Because I guarantee you, I did not want to go by myself. You know, there's people sitting in these big fine mansions all alone. I don't want to be one of them. I want to be surrounded by people who love me. And that's what a hub is. It's this group of people that has surrounded me and loved me for who I am. You don't know anything about me. You don't know what I've been through. And, you know, there's no need for you to care. The fact of the matter is that you've loved me. I have come into this place and I've found my purpose and I know my destiny. And that's what a hub is all about. A hub is a place, like when I fly in airports a lot, I go from place to place, and there's only three places you can get to from Monroe. You can go to Houston, which is a hub. You can go to Dallas, which is a hub, or you can go to Atlanta, which is a hub. And what happens when you get there is people offload off of the plane, and then people load back on the plane. The plane gets filled up. And then the plane takes off to its destiny. That's what that hub is there for, to get those people to their destiny. Praise God. Everybody, and everybody don't have to stay. I want to take you to Acts 5, because everybody don't have to stay. Everybody don't have to stay. They just come in. Get what God needs to depart into them, and then they're off to their destiny. But the key is that they're going to their destiny. They're not going to be lost. They're not going to be left out. They're heading for their destiny. Praise God. Acts 5:11 through 13. Now, I got this from the Easy to Read Bible. It's the Easy to Read version because I thought it put it in the best language. It says, verse 11, the whole church and all the other people who heard about this were filled with fear. Now, let me tell you what was going on. The apostles were working miracles. And the Bible doesn't say that God worked miracles through the apostles. It said at the hands of the apostles. Okay? At the hands. Look at your hands. I hope they're burning like fire, like mine are. Because those are holy hands. And those hands work miracles. If you're sitting around waiting on God to work a miracle, where are your hands? Where are your hands? Because it was at the hands. Whenever Jesus broke the bread, he didn't hand it out in the fishes and the loaves. He blessed it. Then he handed it out to his disciples, and his disciples multiplied it. He blessed it, and at the hands of the disciples, the bread was multiplied. So this is what's happening. These guys are working miracles. They're seeing miracles at the hands of these disciples, apostles now, the sent ones. So verse 11 says, the whole church and all the other people who heard this were filled with fear. So people around us, when they see us moving in this faith, when they see us moving in the Holy Spirit, and they see us working these miracles, which is what the army's for, praise God, the apostles were given the power to do many miraculous signs and wonders among the people. They were given the power. So if you're sitting on your hands waiting for God, get your hands out and work the miracles. Believe God. When you do your part, that he's going to do his part. Praise God. And it says they were together on Solomon's porch, and they all had the same purpose. We all have the same purpose. We all have the same mind. We all have the same purpose. We're like them. None of the other people dared to stand with the apostles. But everyone was saying wonderful things about them. So you got people, they see that we're working miracles. They know that we're holy before God. They know we're of God. And they got nice things to say about us. They respect us, but they're not joining with us. Okay? They said wonderful things about them. They had respect for them. When I was reading that in my King James Bible, it reverted me over to John 12:42. In John 12 and 42, it says, but many people believed in Jesus because he was working these miracles. People believed in Jesus. Even many of the Jewish leaders believed in him. But they were afraid of the Pharisees. That's your church leaders that are not really into what we're doing. They have respect for us, but they're not going to join with us. And even many of the Jewish leaders believed in him, but they were afraid of the Pharisees, so they did not say openly that they believed. They hid their belief. There's going to be people like that. It's scriptural. They were afraid they would be ordered to stay out of their synagogues. They'll be kicked out of their churches if they start working miracles. They'll be kicked out of their churches if they start praying in tongues. They loved the praise from people more than the praise from God. Now, that's what the Word of God says. So, we may be a tight group of people. We may not get to be millions in this church or in this town, but we will be 300 strong because the Word has come to pastor. We will be 300 strong. And people will come in into this hub, and they'll get what they need, and they'll leave. But we can't take it personal because it's a hub. We're going to give them what they need while they're here, while we've been blessed with them. We're going to fill them up and we're going to send them out to their destiny. Praise God. That's what we're doing as an army. We're going to walk through these streets and people will bring their sick and their maimed, their lame to us because they think our shadow, you know, Peter walked through and his shadow healed people. They're going to think that it's our shadow when it's just the plain old anointing. God established us and he anointed us. So when we walk down the streets, when you go into a store, you should leave puddles of anointing everywhere you go. Just be sloshy. Just be sloshy. Just believe God that if you go into the service station restroom, the next person that goes in there, if they're lost, they become our inheritance. Because he said he gives us the heathen for our inheritance. So let you know, and believe God for good reports. Good reports in this town. You know, and it's so awesome that we've exposed that superior spirit, because you can get a superior spirit thinking, I am anointed. I can work the works of Jesus and I am anointed. That superior spirit can then drain us of the life of God that's flowing through us. The Bible says from our innermost being, we'll have rivers of living water, just rivers of living water. You know, I was at Walmart one day years ago, and this lady was going through, and she was old. She was gray-haired, and she was kind of bent over, and she was walking through the toy department, and she was, and I walked to her. I felt compassion for her. You know, Jesus was moved with compassion. And I walked over to her, and I said, ma'am, can I help you? She said, do you work here? I said, well, no, ma'am, I don't, but I'd like to help you. She said, well, my grandbaby needs a birthday present. I have no clue what to get this baby. And I said, well, would you like for us to pray about it and see if the Lord will show you what you need to get that baby? She said, oh, I'm not saved. I said, well, would you like to be? And she said, well, yes, I would. So right there in the Walmart, we prayed with her to get saved. And then she got the baby a present and she was gone. And I've never seen the lady again. And I don't really care. I don't care if I ever see the lady, because it's not me. It's God's life and his nature and his ability, his life on the inside of me that's flowing out like a river. And I can't help it because my river gets all over everything I get around. Just call me sloppy. Sloppy with the Holy Ghost, because I'm just going to slop it all over everything. Everywhere I go, where my feet tread, God give that to me. But if you don't believe it, you're not going to operate in it. And there's some man that preaches in tight blue jeans and a red scarf, red handkerchief in his back pocket. You know what his name is? David Hogan. Yes, he is a blessing. I watched him preach one time, and he said, we have raised 300 people from the dead. And I thought, whoa, that's pretty awesome. He said, but we've prayed for thousands. So You know, the first person I prayed for to get healed had 4-stage cancer, and she died. But I saw her dancing in the Spirit, which meant she moved to heaven, and she got the ultimate healing. So I still got my way. I still got my way. Praise God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. I thank you, Father, that we have boldness. Boldness to work your miracles. Boldness to speak forth the oracles of your holy child, Jesus. Boldness. And all we have to do is just believe the Lord. Believe the Lord. Believe what he says, but you got to renew your mind on what he says. So we're anointed. He says we're a holy priesthood. I'm holy. I may not look holy, but I'm holy. And I'm going to tell you I'm holy. And I'm not going to tell you in that superior spirit. I'm going to tell you with all the humbleness I have in my heart. I'm holy. And I got what they need. Peter said to the man at the gate, he said, silver and gold, I don't have any, but what I got the life of God. So rise up and walk. One night I was standing in a praise and worship service, and there was a lady standing. She just kind of hugged next to me. I didn't pray for this lady. I didn't know what she needed. I just put my arm around her because I loved her. I didn't know who she was. Another lady in our church, she ended up being her mama. And she hadn't had a voice in 5 years. But because I'm believing that I'm anointed, wherever I go, it doesn't have to be in a worship service. And because I'm operating in love and compassion for this lady, because love fulfills the law, okay? All of a sudden, she started singing happy birthday to her daughter. And I thought, well, that's just the sweetest thing, you know, sing happy birthday during the worship service. And, you know, it didn't make any sense to me, but hey. And her daughter started crying, and she ran over to her and started hugging her. Well, these were Hispanic people, and they were talking, and I didn't understand a word they said. But when they got through, I asked Juanita, this was her mama. I said, Juanita, what was that all about? She said, my mother has not been able to speak for 5 years. She's not had a voice in her throat for 5 years. And she sang me happy birthday. That's a miracle. Praise God. So you don't even have to know that you're working the miracles. You just have to know that you are anointed, that you are holy, that you're in the army of God, that you have a purpose, that you have a plan. And if it's just to get one person saved, just one person, Jesus would have come just for me. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I just want to incite you to begin practicing this presence, to begin practicing this. Get your hands on people. Get your hands on the sick. And don't look at them whether they're healed or not. That girl that I prayed for with cancer, I went back to my pastor that day, and the pastor's wife said, did you pray for that lady? I said, yes, ma'am, but I don't think she got it because I didn't feel any anointing. And the Lord spoke to me and said, whose place is it for you to decide whether that person got what I gave them or not? I said, well, I'm sorry, Lord. He, you know, I judged the lady because I didn't feel anointed. I didn't feel the draw of the anointing on me. But it wasn't the feel. It was obeying the word of God. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Well, then when she dies, that's the first thing that's going to knock me down and say, hey, you didn't do any good, so quit laying hands on people. Well, you know, if for the devil, I would say, if you tell me I can't do something, I'm going to do it 2 times. For God, I'm going to do it over and over and over and over. Every time the devil tells me I can't do something, watch out because it's going to get done. If you see me jumping around or rolling on the floor, I guarantee you God has told me to do something and the enemy's tried to stop me from doing it. And so I just get out of my mind and out of my flesh and into my spirit. And, you know, if I embarrass you, I'm sorry. I really am sorry, but I'm going to do it again. Because men's praises are not what we're here for. Men's praises are not what we're all about. That'll keep us out of working the miracles of God, about doing what the army's called to do, about filling people up, about getting them what they need to reach their destiny. If their destiny's not here, praise God, because the whole world can't be right here in this place. But the whole world can be reached from this place. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. You got something, Pastor?
Thank you, Jesus. So I just want you to be encouraged, because I hear my son say a lot that he says this all the time. I guess I don't witness right because I can't get him to come. And the other day he said it, and it just grieved me, because Wednesday night the Holy Ghost, through Holly, sang a new song. Said that we're in the hub, you know, we're in the hub, because Dana saw a vision. Where did she go? Dana, I need her to come tell her what she saw. She's getting ready for the praise. She'll come back, though. But so when we get that revelation, we'll quit being condemned. I worked on that girl for a year, and she came one time and went to the altar, and I hadn't seen her since. Instead of being discouraged, Holly says, I brought my sister here, and she came two times, and God worked on her, and then she decided she's going to leave town and get married. And she said, so I thought that it was too late for my sister, and that I'd done something wrong. And she said, this Wednesday, her sister called and said, me and my husband went to church, and the church, we needed something for our car, and they came together and bought it for us, and we think we want to serve God. So it did work. It did work. They were dispatched. Maybe they didn't stay here, but who knows, they won't come back here. It did work. So I want you to know that faith works out of love, and if we'll keep loving and we'll keep sowing those seeds, then we're going to reap a harvest. I told him I want you to come tell about the hub. So if we get to singing about the hub today, y'all know what we're talking about. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. I was praying one day last week, or this week, I don't remember, but I just saw the ministry in the spirit, and the word hub came to me, and I saw that that's what a revival is. It's like a hub where people come and go. They come and get their need met, and they leave. They don't have to stay here. We're here to protect the presence of God, because this place is a precious, precious place. The call that He's called on this ministry, I don't know anywhere else. I pray there is, because I don't know everything. But I don't know anywhere else that God is allowed to come in to this degree and have His way. And the thought that came to me was of the movie The Tribulation. They play them on TBN about the end times, and how all the people, you know, were so scattered, and there's chaos everywhere, but there was this remnant, this underground remnant of people, and they were in communication with one another, and the people could come to them and get their need met. And I know that those days are here. Those days of uncertainty, and us being able to not meet our need anymore, depending on our jobs, depending on that, those days are coming to an end. And what God has for us here is going to be an answer to the cry of people's hearts when they realize that what they've depended on all these years is uncertain. They don't have anything to depend on anymore. But because of the presence of God that is here, and the call that He's given on our lives to protect that, on our pastor to guard that, to be guardians of that and overseers, and that's just the call that He's called us to be protectors of His presence here, and let Him have His way, because it's such a precious, precious thing. And I don't, you know, who knows what God's got in store for the future. But I know what He's doing right now. And every time we come together and He is allowed to move and come into that degree, lives are changed. Souls are set free. People are getting saved. And all we need to do at this point is talk about it.
talk about it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
And don't be discouraged if you tell religion and they don't, because he would tell his friends and they would, Josh would say, how was y'all's church service? And they never say, how was yours? And so he didn't know, you know, it just not even acknowledging, but Brother Witt had that vision that a trail of pastors and leaders were walking up this road and walked in here because they had heard about the signs and wonders and the miracles. So they brought a trail of people to see, and they came in and they looked and they said, this is of God, but they turned around and walked out. They didn't want to partake of it, but they didn't want to in Jesus' day either. Religion is never going to want us. So we might as well know that right now and not feel less than because we don't think religion accepts us. Religion's not supposed to accept you because we're not religious. Amen. So be encouraged today in what God's called us to do. And every time you give money, every time you say a prayer, every time you show up for church, so when a new person walks in, they think, well, this place is prospering because it's full. I mean, you got 11 people here and we're trying to get somebody saved. It's like, well, do anybody else believe in this? You know, when they see the people here believe in the vision that they're called to, then they'll come. When they see the people mature in that and perfect in that and complete in that, which is where we're going this year, amen, because we're going to see it. And we can't be there till we see it. So it's just getting a revelation of who we are, amen.